a lot about jobs in the last week, naturally enough, with people losing jobs, with the talk about job creation, and so the issue of jobs immediately for North Queensland is very, very important. But next week is back to school, back to the classes, and if you're a very proud parent, perhaps sending your child off to the classroom for the very first time, or maybe even to just kindergarten, then you might be thinking about that long journey of education. And when your son or daughter has finished that journey, what sort of job they might have. Maybe even at a very young age, they're already saying things like, I'm going to be a firefighter, or I'm going to be a professional athlete. And as a parent, you say, yes, that's nice. But what if some of the jobs that they're talking about or that you're thinking of are not there by the time they graduate? Let's meet a man now who's been taking a close think and a close look at all of this. He's a business futurist and looks into where we're heading and what it means for all of us, not just for business, but for society as a whole. And he says that half of all children starting kindergarten this year have no chance of getting a job in 2030. If we continue to educate them the way we currently are. Maurice Mislowski is a business futurist and is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
That's a bit of a dark forecast, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's quite extraordinary, and it's not one that I make lightly either. That's not to say that there won't be work for them, because we as human beings will continue to work for as long as we exist on this planet. We're not going into this Armageddon phase where robots are going to take over the world. It's not about any of that. It's really about looking at, are we doing the right thing by our children in the way that we're currently educating them to get them ready for a world that in 2030 is going to be so significantly different from anything you and I can even begin to look at today.
You say the robot Armageddon is not going to happen, but nevertheless you do say that by 2030, one in four cars sold will be fully autonomous. Robots, artificial intelligence, drones and connected cities will be as ordinary as gas, electricity and water. Mobile phones, keyboards and mice that we use on those computers will be relegated to museums, and the notion of 9-to-5 Monday to Friday work will have given way to something else. How do you come about this forecast?
It's quite extraordinary again with those, but most of that's happening now. What we're seeing is that we know that autonomous vehicles will be on our roads somewhere within the next 10 years. Every car manufacturer on the planet is currently looking at that. It's not just the notion of these cars, it really talks about logistics and movements. And one of the big things about the way that we have evolved as a human race over the last 100 years is because of our ability to get into a car, our ability to move ourselves around, to move large products around. And that changed and reshaped the world, and that's why that's significant moving forward. Robots, we've seen them on our horizon. We've seen lots of stories in last year's press about drones and what they do and whether they're recreational things we can buy. 60,000 were sold in Australia over Christmas, 1 million were sold in America, and we're beginning to see the likes of Australia Post and others talking about using them for delivery. That's not going to happen in the short term, but there's still that technology. This year we're going to see the advent of personal robots come onto the retail market scene, and they'll be under $5,000, mostly under $2,000. And they'll do small things. They're not going to move around and be human-like, but they'll interact with us and talk really like an advanced Siri. So lots of evidence of those sorts of things already being around when these kids haven't yet started. As you said, they start next week and these things are here. By 30 years from now, they will be ordinary. So the world that they live in is going to be a very, very different one. It will have much more automation. Lots of the jobs that you and I now take for granted, many of the listeners are doing these wonderful, wonderful jobs, might not be around, or certainly the tasks they do in them will not be there anymore. They'll be done by something else. But again, they'll be replaced by other jobs and other careers that come on.
Yes, what jobs do you believe or career paths will be available or will be quite strong in 2030?
So let's go to the human side again. Our trades will still be necessary. We're still going to live in homes. We're still going to have to build and fix and have things. So let's not get away from that. Our trades will still be around, very, very strong. What they'll be doing, the tools they'll be using, and the things they'll be working on will evolve, but we'll need those. Our service industry is set to continue to rise in Australia, thankfully, for many people. We're looking at getting other people to do some of our chores and some of our tasks, and that will only increase into the future. So simple things like house cleaning, gardening, to the more complex associates and consultants that we might use are all going to rise. So lots of those sorts of jobs still around. When we look at the other extreme, jobs that we don't even know about yet or that not many people are doing, one of the ones that have been riding for the last year or so and is going to continue is what's called a big data scientist. Now, it's an unusual role, and what she or he does is to look at all the information online, everything that's available to us, and through technology, filter that down into meaningful and purposeful information that a corporation or an individual can use. That's a career right now that you can command $80,000 for upwards. So we're going to see more of those. When I talk to parent groups and I ask them whether they're thrilled about their children going into gaming when they move into their careers, most people say no, they spend enough time on their PS3s and other things. But the notion of gamification is an industry that's in growth, and again, a career that at this stage is $150,000 plus and being used in business. So we're not necessarily talking about games as we might play, but psychological ways that we can train people, we can give them skill sets. So that's a growth area.
It's interesting to look at that future. We're talking to Morris Mislowski, who's a business futurist, saying that the chances of getting jobs in 2030 are going to be very different for those who are starting school or starting their education journey this year. One thing that's always popular is the part-time job when someone gets into high school. Will those part-time jobs that are so popular now in retail and in the food industries, will they still be there in 2030, do you believe?
I don't think so, but I think they'll be replaced by a whole lot of other positions. What we're seeing across the planet is a move to casualised employment, and there's been a lot of talk about Uber and Airbnb and other things over the last year or two. They're examples of that. Examples where you can decide on the spur of the moment to go out and make some extra income by doing something and do that discrete task whenever and wherever you want. Casualised employment is now being used from the largest of corporations through to the smallest of companies and individuals. So I think many of those, what we would now call part-time jobs, will be replaced and are being replaced by those sorts of activities. My children are into most of those sites, and their casual jobs, which would have been the equivalent, they find through those types of sites. We also need to remember that the 9-to-5 notion that you and I now live and have lived for the last 100 years served us well, it was wonderful, nothing untoward about it. But I argue that over the next 10, 15 years, that we will work less 9-to-5 and more about working where and when is appropriate, and not working at home, but working from home, and perhaps travelling out to clients, perhaps travelling out to other spaces. And of course, for some professions, they will always be 9-to-5. We're going to live in a world, hopefully, where there's all things possible rather than just one thing.
Yeah, let's hope so, that there are still plenty of jobs to go around. I'm thinking if we are in such a technologically reliant future, those things do break down. Someone's going to need to fix all of those apps and connected cities and robots and drones that you're talking about.
They absolutely will. And for all of humankind, ever since we've been on the planet, we have been inventing and evolving technology. We take for granted electricity, gas and running water, but they're only a journey of 100 years. Think about the people before those, who saw those as miraculous, who saw them as the advent of new industries, who worried about the industries falling away, who rightly, as you've said, talk about what will happen when they break down. But with humankind, once we invent and involve ourselves with these kinds of technologies, we tend to muddle through, and for better or for worse, if enough of us like it, we evolve ourselves into being comfortable and finding ways to work with it.
I have no idea what I'll be doing in 2030, Morris Mislowski, but do you think there will still be a need for radio broadcasters?
I absolutely do, because one of the things that we need as human beings and always have is communication. We've always needed storytellers, people to tell us and to help us to understand what's happening around the world. Again, I would say I think radio still will be around in many formats. So the format may change, as we've seen television, magazines and other things evolve or devolve, depending on which side of the fence you're on, in the last decade. But the notion of having to tell a story and being able to do it well, as you do, will always be something that we need.
Oh, thank you very much. You've made me feel most assured there, and hopefully I'll also have my jetpack and hoverboard to go with me then in 2032.
I hope so.
Nice to talk to you this morning.
And to you.
Looking into the future for us. That's Morris Mislowski, who's a business futurist. He's been thinking about this for a long time, but something to consider, that perhaps when your son or daughter or grandchild is graduating then the job situation that they're facing might be very different to the one that you think they might be facing.